God's normal way is to work through his people. Christ is the head, and we are the body. And it is through the body that the will of the head gets done.
Welcome to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I love that thought. It still boggles my mind that God in his infinite power and wisdom, who can do anything he wants, anytime he wants, however he wants, allows people like us to be a part of what he's doing.
You know, why not use angels? Why not just do it directly? God is able to do all things, and yet he chooses to work through his people.
Still boggles my mind.
To be the body of Christ, it is the most marvelous thing. And you know, we're in the story of the conversion of the Apostle Paul, and God intervened directly in his life. I mean, the blinding light on the road to Damascus. There's no one else that's part of this revelation of the risen Christ. But afterwards, God works in the life of Saul of Tarsus through this man we're going to meet today called Ananias. Yeah. And what a special character he is in the New Testament. God used this man to surround a new believer, Saul of Tarsus, with love, to ground him in the gospel, and to move him forward into ministry. And you know, that raises the question, who will God bring across your path today that you will be able to minister? Who is there in your life to whom you can show the love of Christ? Who is there that you can ground in the gospel and move forward in ministry? God uses his people. The head works through the body, and God has purposes for you and for me and for every one of us today.
Well, let's look at this character of Ananias in Acts chapter 9. Here is Pastor Colin.
Today we're wrapping up this short series entitled Chosen Instruments. And that phrase comes, of course, from verse 15 that's just been read to us. The Lord said of Saul of Tarsus, he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. We're going to look today at the critical subject of how God's work gets done in the world. And the answer to that question from this scripture is that God works through chosen instruments. Now, we looked last week at the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, an extraordinary event that changed the course of history. Here was this violent man who had persecuted Christians, but he saw the glory of Christ. He heard the voice of the risen Christ. And we saw that what happened to him by his own statement was an example. It was a model. It was a pattern of what must happen to every one of us if we are to be truly Christian. Saul came to a true knowledge of Jesus Christ. He'd known a lot about Christianity, but we saw that this is the most important thing. At its heart, the Christian faith is not a set of doctrines for you to debate. It is not a way of life for you to consider. At its heart, it is about this glorious person that even his enemies cannot ultimately avoid. And Saul of Tarsus comes face to face with this person. He comes to a true knowledge of the risen and glorious Lord Jesus Christ. And we said this last week from the story that every one of us will one day have a Damascus Road experience. What happened to Saul of Tarsus will one day happen to you. You will see the face of Jesus Christ. You will hear the voice of Jesus Christ one day as surely as you hear my voice today. And this will happen, the Bible assures us, to every person that has ever lived, irrespective of what a person believes, irrespective of how a person chooses to live. And at the heart of becoming a Christian is a true knowledge of Jesus Christ that leads then to a true knowledge of yourself. Here was this man who thought that he was on a righteous path, on the way to heaven, living a life that's pleasing to God. I'm sure I'll get my reward in heaven. And he actually comes to discover when he sees the glory of the risen Lord that he's a man on his way to hell. And all that he can do is cast himself on the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to take up the story in verse 6. I hope you have the Bible open in front of you. Saul is on the ground in the dust, and Jesus Christ says to him, "Rise. Rise. and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. Now, we noticed last week that there are three accounts in the New Testament of what it is like for a person to see the glory of the risen Lord. One is the Transfiguration. Another is the vision given to John the Apostle in the book of Revelation. And the third is right here in the experience of Saul on the road to Damascus. And you may remember that we noted last week that all three of these occasions have one thing in common. At the Transfiguration, we are told that the disciples fell on their faces and they were terrified. In the book of Revelation, John says, when he sees the glory of the Lord, I fell at his feet as though dead. And here on the road to Damascus, you have exactly the same thing. This is the inevitable human response in the presence of the overwhelming glory of the Lord. Saul falls to the ground in the presence of the glory of the Lord. We saw that last week, but today I want you to notice something else very wonderful that these three incidents all have in common. At the Transfiguration, Matthew tells us the disciples, hearing this, fell on their faces and they were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. That's what Jesus Christ can do for you. To cause you to be in the presence of God and to have no reason to fear. Isn't that the most amazing thing? Be on the dust because you know that you're a sinner. And Jesus says, now you get up and do not be afraid. You're mine. I'm standing with you, and with me you can stand even in the presence of a holy God. And you see, it's not just there. It's the pattern. This is what Jesus does for his people when we're in the presence of the glory of God. This is what he'll do for us. You see it in the book of Revelation. John says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. John the Apostle fell at his feet as though dead. But he, Jesus, laid his right hand on me saying, fear not. See, the same thing. I am the first and the last. I'm the living one. I died and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. Get up. And you see, here you have exactly the same thing on the road to Damascus. Here's Saul of Tarsus. And he realizes that he's been spending years fighting against the sovereign Lord of glory. He's down in the dust. He thinks, is there any hope for me? And Jesus Christ says to him, rise. Rise. Enter the city. And you will be told what you are to do. Listen. When Jesus Christ shows you that you are a sinner, his ultimate purpose is never to leave you groveling in the dust. His purpose is to raise you up and to send you out as a person who knows that you live because of his mercy, and therefore a person who will live for his glory now and forevermore. Now let's follow the story. Saul went into the city of Damascus, and we're told verse 9 and verse 11, putting these together, that for 3 days he gave himself to prayer and to fasting. No doubt, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, show me what it is that you want me to do, because the Lord had said, go into the city and you will be told what you are to do. And so Saul of Tarsus is praying. And here's what I want you to notice as of first importance today, that the answer to Saul's prayer comes through a person. In this case, the man by the name of Ananias. Now, here's why this is especially important in this story and very important for us today. Saul came to know the Lord Jesus Christ without the witness or even the presence of a single Christian believer. Think about that. He was given a direct revelation, a direct encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ right there on the road to Damascus. Not a single other believer was involved. And then Saul says, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord says, now rise and go into the city and you will be told what you are to do. In other words, Saul, you've now been awakened to the reality of who I am and your need of my mercy. It has happened by a direct encounter without the involvement of another single person, but this is not how it will normally be. God's normal way is to work through his people. Christ is the head, and we are the body. And it is through the body that the will of the head gets done.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Ananias, part of a series, Chosen Instruments, as we take a look at some of the characters we find in Acts chapter 9. If you missed any part of today's broadcast, or you want to go back and listen again, or to any previous broadcast in this series, just visit our website. It's unlockingthebible.org, and you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at unlockingthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
So here's the very important principle, and it's a principle that goes to the very heart of the mission of the church that I want us to grasp and to get clearly established in all of our minds and in our hearts today. Very simply, Jesus Christ works through means. He works through his people. And that's at the heart of the title of this series, that Saul is a chosen instrument of mine. Think about that wonderful phrase with me for a moment. A chosen instrument. What does that tell us? It tells us two things. First, that God uses us. An instrument is very simply the means by which a particular task gets done. A scalpel is an instrument in the hands of the surgeon. When the surgeon goes into the operating theater, he has a whole range, trays of instruments that are laid out for him so that he can pick up one instrument and then pick up another instrument. And it is by means of these instruments that the operation is actually accomplished by the surgeon. God uses us. We're chosen instruments. That's who we are. But then this wonderful, wonderful description of what it means to be a Christian, a chosen instrument, reminds us not only that God uses us, but also, of course, that we depend utterly and entirely on God. What can a scalpel do? Absolutely nothing, unless it is in the hands of a surgeon. And therefore, the Lord Jesus says to Saul, this is very wonderful, you're a chosen instrument of mine. You are going to be an instrument in the hands of the Redeemer. Because you are in my hands, it's going to be through you that my work will get done. How is it that the name of the Lord Jesus then will be, verse 15, taken, carried to the Gentiles and to kings and to the children of Israel? The answer ultimately is God will do it. But how will God do it? He will do it through the chosen instruments. He will do it through his people. He will do it through us. And I say that because it's very, very clear here in this passage that Saul is not the only chosen instrument. Ananias here is a chosen instrument. A little later in the chapter, Barnabas is a chosen instrument. What we're being introduced to here is the way in which God gets his work done in the world. So let's follow the story a little further. Verse 10. Now, there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And we're told here that the Lord spoke to him in a vision and told him that he was to go to the house where Saul of Tarsus was praying. Saul knows at this point that Jesus is indeed the risen Lord, but he's still waiting to be told what it is that he should do. And so now Ananias is going to be a chosen instrument in regards to the discipling and establishing of this man, Saul of Tarsus, as a Christian believer. Now notice from verse 13 that understandably Ananias did not want to go. You can hardly blame him. Do you envy him in the commission that he was given here? He says, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. Remember, this is a man who 3 days before would quite gladly have killed Ananias, and the commission to Ananias is to go. God may call you to do something in your life that will scare you. And you will find yourself saying, I can't do that. That's too difficult. That's too dangerous. I'm willing to do some other thing for the Lord. I'm willing to go some other place for the Lord. I'm willing to speak to some other person for the Lord, but I can't do this. And Christ says to him, go. And thank God that Ananias went. Think about what happened through this man overcoming his fear in order to be obedient to God. It's because Ananias goes that Saul is welcomed into the church. It's because Saul is welcomed into the church that then Saul is sent out in chapter 13 by the church. It is because Saul is sent out by the church that the gospel comes to the Gentiles. And it is because the gospel came to the Gentiles that the vast majority of us here have been found in Jesus Christ today. There is a direct line between this man's obedience and his willingness to overcome the natural fear that was in him and to do the hard thing that God called him to do, and the fact that we are sitting here today and eternally redeemed in Jesus Christ. Direct line between these two things. So when you get to heaven, don't forget to thank Ananias. We are so glad that you were an obedient person and that you did not give way to fear. God works through means. And it was through this man, a forgotten hero of the early church, truly another chosen instrument, that Saul was established as a believer, welcomed into the church, and that changed the course of history. Now, let's focus in then a little more on this remarkable ministry of Ananias. Let me suggest that there are three parts to it that are relevant to all of us today. This is the most wonderful ministry, the ministry of Ananias. And I want to commend it to you. First, what does he do? He surrounds Saul with love. The Ananias ministry is a ministry of surrounding another person with love. Now think about what this must have meant to Saul. Remember, he's blind. So imagine yourself sitting in a room with a blindfold on. It's a room in a strange town. You suddenly, having felt very powerful for much of your life, feel completely defenseless and helpless. You've just had the most extraordinary and devastating encounter with the glory of the risen Lord, and you've realized that you've been spending years of your life in opposition to the one who is supreme and all-powerful. Saul has been killing disciples. And now, a disciple of Jesus comes and places his hands on his head. I think that must have been a terrifying moment. What's he going to do to me? And the first words Saul of Tarsus hears from a Christian are these: Brother Saul. Isn't that beautiful? Saul, my brother. And this man who has only just come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ is immediately embraced by love that is shown to him by another Christian. Saul, my brother, who can you reach out to? Who can you welcome? Who can you embrace with love who needs to be established in the faith today? Second, the Ananias ministry grounds a person in the gospel. Not only surrounds a person with love, but grounds a person in the gospel. I say that for this reason, that there was a uniqueness about Saul's blindness. There was a reason for Saul's blindness that, of course, is quite different from any other blindness as it is experienced in the world today. What happened uniquely in the case of Saul was, of course, that his blindness was a sign of the judgment of God. It came out of this rebel being overwhelmed by the sheer presence and the glory of God. And so when Ananias prayed for his sight to be restored, and it was clearly a sign to Saul that God's judgment upon him had been taken away and that he really had experienced and was found in God's mercy. The Ananias ministry, then, is one that helps to ground a person in the gospel. Here's a person who's become aware that there's a God, and I've been on the wrong side of him. And Ananias comes along and embraces him with love and grounds him in this very remarkable way by what it means to be in God's mercy. And then there's a third thing. He prepares Saul for the work that God was calling him to do. You will carry the name of Jesus to the Gentiles and to kings and to the children of Israel. And Ananias is the one who answers the prayer, what am I to do? The answer comes through Ananias. Here's what you're to do. God revealed it to him. And so he guides Saul into what the ministry will be for him, what work God has for him to do. And he prepares him for it, showing him how many things he must suffer for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's a very simple pattern, but it's a very beautiful one, and it speaks very clearly to us today. When God is at work in the life of a person, what are we to do? We are to embrace them as brothers and sisters. We are to help ground them in the gospel. We are to help them see how God can use them and prepare them for that work. This is the ministry of Ananias. And God uses this ministry to turn outsiders into insiders and to turn enemies into friends.
Well, that was the work of Ananias, and that's what we're to do too. A great reminder today that God uses his chosen instruments. That is the title of this series, where we're looking at different characters in the Bible story and how God used them, like Peter and Paul and today, Ananias. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue this message from Acts chapter 9. If you ever miss a broadcast, you can always listen online. Just come to our website. It is unlockingthebible.org. And we do want to help you understand the entirety of the Bible story, and so we're putting together different resources that can help you with that. In fact, one of them we'd love to send you this month as our way of saying thanks for your financial support. It's a 2-hour DVD called Open the Bible Story. And Colin, why did you put this DVD together?
Well, that really goes to the heart of what this ministry is all about. We really want to help people open the Bible. And the reason we want to do that is because when you open the Bible, you will be directed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the center of all of the scriptures. And so what we want to show people and help people to see is how the whole Bible story points us towards Jesus Christ, in whom life and peace and joy and hope are all to be found. And then we have this great conviction that comes from the Bible itself, that God actually uses the scripture to bring real and lasting change in people's lives. You know, in the New Testament, we're told that we're born again by the Holy Spirit, but we're also told that we're born again by the living, enduring Word of God. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, the means by which the Holy Spirit brings new life. So if your life's really going to change, how's that going to happen? Well, it's going to happen through the entrance of God's Word into your life. That's how the power of the Lord Jesus Christ works in us. But here's the question, where do you begin? Well, this Open the Bible DVD just gives a great place to begin. It's an overview of the Bible. It tells you the story. And I hope it's going to be a real encouragement to many, many people to open the Bible for themselves, to discover more about the Lord Jesus Christ, and to experience the change that God brings to human lives through his Word.
Well, we want to say thank you for supporting Unlocking the Bible by sending you this DVD, Open the Bible Story. You can find out more or give your gift right now by coming to our website, unlockingthebible.org. That's unlockingthebible.org, or call us at 1-866-865-6253. It might be easier to remember as 1-866-UNLOCKED. Well, thanks for doing that and for listening. I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. What is the message that Christians are to proclaim? See the answer in 15 different places from the New Testament. Next time on Unlocking the Bible.